Greetings, colleagues. On today's journey through legal landscapes, we're unpacking the intricacies of immigration law, a compass for lawyers navigating the complex world of visas, asylum, citizenship, and more. Whether you're a seasoned attorney or a newcomer, understanding the language of immigration is vital. Join me in unraveling the legal tapestry of global journeys, where we'll dive into the nuances of visa categories, the intricacies of asylum, the path to citizenship, and the challenges of immigration law. Stay tuned as we decode the vocabulary essential for lawyers representing clients on their global adventures. On today's docket, Global Journeys, a guide to immigration legal terms for lawyers and expats. The For Legal English podcast is now in session. Welcome to the For Legal English podcast. This is the show for lawyers, law students, and other professionals from all over the world who want to improve both their legal English and legal knowledge. In this podcast, we discuss different legal topics, such as law in the news, law in practice, legal writing, legal movies, and other issues. This podcast does not constitute legal advice. If you need legal advice, consult an attorney. You can check out our blog articles, available courses, and the show notes for this episode on our website. That's 4 is in the number 4, legalenglish, no spaces or dashes, .com. forlegalenglish.com. I'm Timothy Barrett, your host. I'm a former practicing attorney from the United States, more recently a law professor in Tbilisi, Georgia, and currently an author and podcast host, among other things. In this episode, we embark on a linguistic exploration of immigration law, demystifying the complex terminology that defines the legal pathways for individuals moving across borders. Immigration law is a vast and dynamic field, encompassing a lexicon that plays a pivotal role in legal proceedings. Today, we'll lay the groundwork by defining the scope of immigration law terminology. As legal practitioners and enthusiasts, delving into these terms is not just a linguistic exercise. It's a crucial step toward effectively navigating the intricate landscape of immigration law. So let's begin our journey into the heart of immigration legal vocabulary. Visa categories. In the vast landscape of immigration, visas act as gatekeepers, regulating the entry and stay of individuals in a host country. Let's break down some common visa categories, making the intricate system more accessible. Keep in mind, I'm not giving any legal advice, and I'm not even specifically talking about one country for the most part. I'm trying to make this broad so that the terminology can be applied whichever country you're dealing with. Of course, each country is a little bit different, so govern yourselves accordingly. Tourist visa. A tourist visa is a temporary permit for individuals intending to visit a country for leisure or recreation. It's essential for short-term stays, like vacations. However, it typically comes with restrictions, such as the prohibition of employment during the visit. Work visa. For those seeking employment opportunities abroad, a work visa is the golden ticket. This category allows individuals to legally work in a foreign country, subject to specific terms and conditions outlined by the host country. These conditions often include a defined employment period and limitations on the type of work allowed. Usually, an employment contract with a specific employer is required as part of this. Student visa. A student visa facilitates a global pursuit of knowledge. This visa type is for individuals enrolling in academic institutions overseas. Usually we're talking about universities, but other academic or learning institutions can also be included. It's a key to unlocking opportunities for learning and personal growth. However, it's crucial to abide by the visa's terms, including attending the registered institution and maintaining good academic standing. In other words, a student visa may be canceled if the student doesn't attend classes or doesn't maintain a passing grade. Understanding these visa categories is foundational to comprehending the legal implications and restrictions each one carries. Navigating the complexities of immigration law becomes more manageable when armed with knowledge. Asylum and refugee status. Welcome back to our exploration of immigration law, where we now delve into two critical concepts, asylum and refugee status. These are humanitarian provisions that offer protection to those fleeing persecution or grave threats in their home countries. These terms are often used in the news, especially in the last several years. Asylum. Asylum is a form of international protection granted to individuals already in a host country or at its borders. It is a shield for those who have suffered or fear persecution due to race, religion, nationality, membership in a particular social group, or political opinion. The asylum seeker must prove a well-founded fear of persecution to qualify for asylum. And they're also supposed to seek asylum in the first safe place that they arrive. Refugee status. On a broader scale, refugee status is similar to asylum, but is a designation granted to individuals outside their home country. Refugees, like asylum seekers, are escaping persecution, conflict, or violence. The key difference lies in the location where the protection is sought. Legal processes and criteria. Seeking asylum or refugee status involves a thorough legal process. Applicants must demonstrate the legitimacy of their claims, often through extensive documentation and interviews. The criteria for approval revolve around proving a credible fear of persecution or serious harm. Understanding these terms is crucial, not only for legal professionals, but for anyone navigating the complex field of immigration law. Citizenship and naturalization. Let's unravel the concepts of citizenship and naturalization, fundamental aspects of immigration law that grant individuals the rights and privileges of belonging to a particular nation. Defining citizenship. Citizenship is the status of being a recognized member of a sovereign state with accompanying rights, duties, and privileges. It can be acquired through various means, including birth within the country's territory, or through descent from citizens. In other words, if the parents are citizens, often the children are automatically citizens, or at least eligible to become citizens. Naturalization process. On the other hand, naturalization is the legal process through which a non-citizen voluntarily becomes a citizen. This path involves meeting specific criteria set by the host country. The requirements often include a period of residency, language proficiency, and a demonstration of good moral character. When we say a person is a naturalized citizen, that means that they were not born a citizen, but through some kind of formal process, have become a citizen. And usually that means they have full right of citizenship. For example, in the United States, I believe a naturalized citizen can do anything that a born citizen can do, with the exception of becoming vice president or president, which are reserved for people born in the United States. When discussing this, I'm always reminded of my grandmother, who was not born in the United States, but moved there and became a naturalized citizen. And she told me that she was more of an American citizen than I was because she had to do something to become an American citizen, where all I had to do was be born there. Key differences. The critical distinction lies in how citizenship is acquired. While some gain citizenship automatically by being born in a country, others actively pursue it through process of naturalization. Understanding these distinctions is vital for anyone navigating the complexities of immigration law. Requirements and procedures. For those seeking naturalization, there are essential requirements to fulfill. These may include a residency period, typically demonstrating an individual's commitment and integration into the society, language proficiency, often measured through standardized tests, is another common criterion. Language proficiency, often measured through standardized tests, is another common criterion. Good moral character, demonstrated through a clean legal record, in other words, not getting arrested, is also crucial. Navigating the intricate process of obtaining citizenship or going through the naturalization can be challenging. Stay tuned for more terms in our journey through immigration law. If you're enjoying today's episode, please subscribe. It would really help us out if you gave us 5 stars and a review. Remember to go to our website, 4 LegalEnglish, no spaces or dashes, .com, 4LegalEnglish.com. Check out our blog articles, available courses, and the show notes for this episode. And I encourage you to comment. At the bottom of the show notes, you can leave a comment or ask a question. This is a great way to practice and improve your legal English skills. Our flagship course that we offer is Elemental Legal English. This is a completely online course that you can complete at your own pace. It has 12 modules, which normally would be a 12-week semester course. There's plenty of learning content, as well as exercises to reinforce what you've learned. If you're looking to improve your vocabulary or understanding of legal English concepts, this is a great course to get started with. If you go to our website, look for Elemental Legal English, and I'll leave a link in the show notes as well. Immigration detention and deportation. In this segment, we delve into the somber yet crucial aspects of immigration law, detention and deportation. These are terms that bear significant weight in the lives of individuals navigating the complexities of immigration systems. Defining detention. Immigration detention is the practice of holding individuals suspected of visa violations, illegal entry, or awaiting deportation. Detention facilities, often operated by immigration authorities, are designed to temporarily house these individuals during the legal processes. Understanding deportation. Deportation, also known as removal, is the formal removal of a non-citizen from the country. It can result from visa violations, criminal activities, or the expiration of legal status. Deportation proceedings involve legal hearings where the individual may present a defense against removal. Legal rights. In detention and deportation, individuals facing detention or deportation have legal rights that must be upheld. These include the right to legal representation, the right to a fair hearing, and protection against arbitrary detention. Understanding and advocating for these rights is crucial for anyone involved in immigration law. Challenges and advocacy. Detention and deportation are areas where legal expertise and advocacy play a vital role. As legal practitioners, it's essential to comprehend the nuances of these processes to provide effective representation for those facing such challenges. Family-based immigration. Our journey through the lexicon of immigration law continues, and in this section, we explore a topic close to the heart, family-based immigration. It's a realm where legal terms and familial ties intersect. Family-based immigration refers to the process of individuals immigrating to a country based on family relationships. Commonly, family members who are citizens or lawful permanent residents may sponsor relatives for immigration, creating a pathway for reunification. In a family-sponsored immigration, terms like petitioner and beneficiary take center stage. The petitioner, often a family member residing in the host country, initiates the process by filing a petition or a formal legal request on behalf of the beneficiary, the relative seeking immigration benefits. For example, Sally moves to a different country, she becomes a permanent legal resident there, and then petitions to have her husband from her home country also be allowed to come to the new country. Because they are husband and wife or other family relationship, the new country may be willing to grant residency status to the husband for reunification, to reunify, to bring together the family. Navigating family-based immigration involves understanding legal intricacies. Terms such as sponsorship obligations, priority dates, and affidavit of support come into play. Sponsors commit to financially support their immigrating family members, and priority dates determine when the immigration process can commence. While family-based immigration is a cherished avenue for reunification, it's not without challenges. Legal practitioners must guide clients through the complexities, ensuring compliance with immigration laws and addressing potential hurdles. Employment-based immigration. In this leg of our journey through the vast realm of immigration law, we step into the dynamic world of employment-based immigration. It's a domain where career aspirations intersect with legal processes, shaping the pathways for individuals seeking to work and contribute in a new land. Employment-based immigration revolves around terms that define the legal avenues for foreign nationals to work in another country. From work visas to permits, understanding this lexicon is crucial for both legal practitioners and those navigating the process. The term work visa is foundational. It refers to the legal authorization granted by a host country, allowing an individual to work for a specific employer or engage in a particular profession. Work permits, often used interchangeably with visas, grant similar authorizations. In some countries, it's for a specific employer. If that employment ends, then that visa terminates. In other countries, you may need that specific employer to get the visa, but then you're still able to stay even if you lose that employment. So again, you have to look at the specific laws of the specific country. Delving deeper, we encounter essential legal requirements. Terms like labor certification, employment-based preference categories come into play. Labor certification involves a process where employers demonstrate the unavailability of local talent for a particular position, justifying the need to hire a foreign national. In other words, they have to try to hire someone local before they can hire someone internationally. As with any immigration process, challenges exist. Whether it's meeting specific job requirements, understanding the complexities of employer sponsorship, or addressing time constraints, legal practitioners play a crucial role in guiding individuals through the nuances of employment-based immigration. Often, countries have preferences. For example, maybe they're looking for people with advanced degrees. If you have an advanced degree, then it may be easier. Or they're looking for specific professions. Maybe they need plumbers or carpenters or doctors. Then, you know, if you have those skills, then it may be easier to get in. Immigration appeals and legal challenges. In this segment, we'll unravel the complexities of immigration appeals and the legal challenges faced by immigrants and their advocates. First on our legal map is the term immigration appeals. An appeal is a formal request to a higher authority to review a decision made by a lower one. In the context of immigration, this could involve challenging a denial of a visa or deportation order. Common legal challenges. Now let's navigate the rough terrain of common legal challenges encountered by immigrants. Due process is foundational. It ensures that individuals are treated fairly under the law, regardless of immigration status. Inadmissibility and deportability are terms indicating the reason someone may be denied entry or face removal. Understanding the asylum process. A significant legal challenge is often associated with asylum. The term credible fear interview is crucial, referring to the initial assessment to determine whether an individual has a credible fear of persecution or torture in their home country. Withholding of removal or Convention Against Torture Protection are legal safeguards for those who may not qualify for asylum, but still face significant harm if returned. Lexicon. Here are some words from today's episode that might be advanced or tricky. If you want to learn more about these words, check out the show notes. Go to 4legalenglish.com, that's 4 is in the number 4, legalenglish, no spaces or dashes, .com/podcast, and look for today's episode. If you have any questions about the episode, you can also drop them in the comments at the bottom of the show notes, and I'll get back to you. Advocacy. Asylum. Compass. Expedition. Framework. Intricacies. Lexicon. Naturalization. Nuances. Proficiency. Representation. Scope. Toolkit. Visa.
What questions do you have about today's episode? You can post those questions or any comments on the show notes. This is a great way to practice and improve your legal English skills. You can go to the website 4, as in the number 4, legalenglish, no spaces or dashes, .com, forlegalenglish.com. You can check out our blog articles and show notes for this episode, and check out the episode quizzes. It'd be fantastic if you could subscribe and give us a review. If you could leave us 5 stars and a nice comment, it would really help the algorithm and other people to find our podcast. If you leave a great review, I might even read it on the air. So start writing. The 4 Legal English Podcast is adjourned. Don't miss the next docket call.